Corinthians chapter 5. And I'm going to show you something. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. The Bible reads in verse number 21. For he hath made him, talking about Jesus Christ, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. See, this is a two-way street, okay? God says, I'm willing to become sin. Now, do you think that Jesus Christ wanted to become sin? I mean, do you think that was comfortable for him to become sin? Flip over, if you would. Keep your finger there in 2 Corinthians, but we're going to be back there in a second. But flip back to John chapter 3. And look at what the Bible reads. Look at John chapter 3. John chapter 3, look at verse number 14 of John chapter 3. The Bible reads, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But look what it says in verse 14. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Remember in the Old Testament, in the book of Numbers, when they lifted up the brazen serpent, God told Moses to create a serpent made out of brass and to put it up on a pole and lift it up. And the Bible says that every single person who was dying from the poisonous snake bites, if they would look up, all they had to do was just look at the brazen serpent and they would be healed immediately. They would live. They would not die. Now, did you ever wonder why a serpent would represent Jesus Christ? I mean, what do you think of when you think of the serpent all throughout the Bible? The devil, right? That old serpent, which is the devil and Satan. Why would a serpent represent Jesus Christ? Because obviously that serpent lifted up on the pole was Jesus. You look to Jesus for salvation. And here in John 3:16, Jesus tells us that was a picture of salvation. But I'll tell you why. Because when Jesus Christ was on the cross, he made him to become sin for us. And that's why when they looked at that brazen serpent, they were looking into the future of Jesus Christ on the cross. They were looking and seeing sin. I mean, they were seeing ungodliness. I mean, can you imagine what Jesus Christ went through on the cross when he all of a sudden had to be guilty of every sin that you've ever done and every sin I've ever done and people that are far worse than anybody in this room? I mean, can you imagine the moment that the sins of the world were placed on Jesus Christ and all of a sudden it was like he was the mass murderer? All of a sudden he was Jeffrey Dahmer? All of a sudden it was like he had committed the sins of Adolf Hitler? All of a sudden it was like he had committed the sins of Joseph Stalin? All of a sudden it was like he had committed every abortion that's ever been committed? I mean, all of a sudden it was like every filthy cuss word that came out of somebody's mouth, it was like he had spoken it. I mean, it was like he killed every murder, every filthy, perverted, sick act in the world. He took the sins of the whole world upon him, and he became sin for us. I mean, can you imagine what it would be like to have the sins of the whole world on you, like as if you had done it, and then a holy God the Father says, now I'm going to punish you for every sin that's ever been done. How would you like to face the punishment? How would you like to stand before God, and it was like your record of life and Adolf Hitler's record were switched, and it's like you're going to pay for Adolf Hitler's sins? How would you like that? I mean, how would you like to face a God that has so much wrath and so much anger that he created a place called hell? The Bible says that the destruction in hell comes from the presence of the Lord. His fiery wrath and indignation is what kindles the fires of hell. Can you imagine facing that God with the sins of the whole world, every sin that's ever been done, and be punished by God for the sins of the world? I mean, Jesus Christ became sin for us. That's what you have to understand about him being on the cross. But the Bible says that there's a reason why he became sin for us. He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He says, if I can become sin, if I can become guilty of every filthy, perverted sin that's ever been done, every murder, every violation, if I can become sin for you, can you, the sinner, become righteous for me? I mean, can you become a soul winner? I mean, can you become right with God? I mean, can you become a clean and decent person? Hey, I'm not asking you to take the sins of the world on your back. I'm not asking asking you to become something bad. I'm not asking you to become something evil like I had to take on the sins of the world. He says, I did that, and all I'm asking you to do is become a good Christian. Hey, is it so hard for you to become another man? Is it so hard for you to become a soul winner? Is it so hard for you to step out of your shell and your comfort zone a little bit and do something you're not comfortable with? Hey, is it so hard for you to become a godly Christian that dresses the way that the Bible says you should dress? Is it that hard? Is it anything like what Jesus did? I mean, could it even be compared to what Jesus became for us, what he's asking you to become? I mean, he's asking you to become something that's going to make you happier, that's going to make you a better person, that's going to make you respect yourself more, it's going to make you rejoicing all throughout eternity. Hey, can you become what God wants you to become? Can you quit saying, that's not how I am, that's just not my personality, and just become the person that God wants you to become? Can you just change? Giving no offense in anything. That's what we're talking about. Becoming all things to all men. Being what people need you to be. Being what your wife needs you to be. Being what your kids need you to be. Being what your church needs you to be. He says, giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God. In much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness. Did you hear that? He said, not only did we labor and suffer and sweat and toil, but he said, we also, because we didn't want to offend anybody, he said, we lived a pure life by pureness, by knowledge. He said, we studied the Bible. We knew what we were talking about. We knew our doctrine. We didn't say things that didn't line up with the Bible because we knew what we were talking about. By long suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. He said, I became all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. He said, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound.